Like to bring a word to you tonight from God's word in Hebrews chapter 2. Just two verses, Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, on this Christmas Eve in 2018. The writer says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too, that is Jesus, shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." Would you pray with me? Father, I ask now that you would teach us of eternal things. Speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would make the reality of the birth of Jesus Christ all the more real to every one of us this evening. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. These words speak powerfully about all that we celebrate at Christmas, the incarnation of God in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews points out several important reasons why we should celebrate the incarnation and birth of our Lord Jesus. I'd like to mention three of them and spend the bulk of our time together on the third one. The first is his identification with us. The writer says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity." The Word was made flesh. Almighty God, the triune God, emptied himself by taking on human flesh. And he came to identify with us. The writer of Hebrews goes on in this chapter at the very end to say he identified in all things with us. The Lord Jesus knew pain. He knew emotional trauma. He is familiar intimately with everything in connection to the human condition. Let no one say ever that he does not understand me. So often we go through life and we think, if only other people understood what I've been through. If only other people understood the depth of my heartache. If only others could identify with me. Well, no one can identify with you fully except the Lord Jesus. He knows you inside out. In fact, Psalm 139 says he knows the number of our days even before we were created in our mother's womb. No one can identify with us better and more perfectly than the Son of God. Well, he goes on to say not only he identification with us, but his death for the destruction of the devil. He goes on in verse 14b, "So that by his death," that is Jesus's, "he might destroy him who holds the power of death," that is the devil. The ultimate goal of the incarnation was Jesus's death. We put it this way, Jesus was born to die, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. You see, Jesus's death would satisfy the Father's just demands for penalty against sin. The Ten Commandments are something that all of us have broken. And the Bible makes it clear if we've broken one, we've broken them all. And so Jesus' death would satisfy God's justice by offering his perfect obedience to the law as a payment for our sins, as an atonement, and subsequently give us his righteousness to stand before a holy God. I think most of us as Presbyterians are familiar with those theological reasons that Christ died to make atonement for our sins. But here, while the writer mentions that later profusely, here he describes the impact of Christ's death not only with theological truths, but also with practical expressions of God's love and tender care for us. The destruction of the devil who held the power of death. Because, ladies and gentlemen, death is not natural. Death came as a result of the fall of man into sin. The Bible makes it clear that Romans 6:26, the wages of sin is death. In James chapter 1, he says, "Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And so Jesus came and took out our worst enemy, Satan, who has the power of death. But then thirdly, in verse 15, he goes on to say, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Let those words, as Jesus would say, sink deeply into your ears. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Fear seems to be universal in connection to the human experience. Students of phobia tell us we have fear of heights, fear of spiders, fear of crowds, small places, large places, and the list goes on and on. Most of us, if not all of us, have some fear of some sort. I've always been astonished by this verse. Free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. I read an article the other day in USA Today by Christopher Bader, a professor of sociology at Chapman University in Orange, California. He did a survey of 1,511 Americans to find out what are the top 10 fears of Americans. Surely death would be there. Here's the list. Number one, corruption of government officials. Number two, terrorist attacks. Number three, not having enough money for the future. Number four, being a victim of terror. Number five, government restrictions on firearms and ammunition. Number six, people I love dying. Number seven, economic or financial collapse. Number eight, identity theft. Number nine, people I love becoming seriously ill. And last but not least, number 10, the Affordable Health Care Act. I think it's fascinating that the fear of death did not make the top 10. Why? Well, on the surface, it seems Americans appear to be more afraid of life than death. But if you meditate on all these fears in the survey, they all point to a common denominator, and that is fear of what will happen to me. Fear of what will happen to me. Honestly, I think most Americans, in fact, most humans, fear death in some sense, simply because they try so hard to cling to this life. That is to say, control of my circumstances. Personal harm or pain, I don't want to deal with it. And all this results in a life filled with worry, fear, and anxiety. All of this preoccupation with life in this world naturally leads to a denial of death. And not simply the experience of death, but the end of life on earth. See, I think as a pagan, whenever the person dies, the man or woman without God, without Jesus Christ, there's no more goals. There's no more achievement. There are no more opportunities to chase after money and success and possessions and beauty and power or fame. No more time to make a name for myself. No more happy endings. In that sense, it's very hard for somebody who is preoccupied with this life to go into eternity. Now, we Christians aren't much better. We say we don't fear death. And that's good. We shouldn't. The Bible makes it clear for the believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Unfortunately, we Christians are not much better than the average Americans when it comes to our fears. You know, as I read that list, I can identify all too well with many of the top 10 fears. With the result that I often, perhaps you too, live in slavery to worry, to anxiety, to the future. Bible's clear that if I'm in Christ, when I die, I'm going to be with him. Heaven is guaranteed. But I believe my greatest fear is not dying in Christ, but dying for Christ every day. Living by faith. Dying to myself and my sin and my desires and plans and goals. Living in obedience to Christ and his commands. Giving up my control and all my fears and anxiety over the future. Trusting him. That's a life of faith. Excuse me. Fear of dying to myself daily for Christ and living by faith makes me a slave to all the other fears and worries and anxieties of this life. Some of the words of the Lord Jesus that strike fear in me. Luke 9, he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." And Luke 14, 26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." I don't know about you, but I've often read those words. And the fear comes over me, do I really know Jesus? Do I love him? Because I know I'm going to heaven as a Christian. But the thing I fear is life on this earth. I'm ready to die physically and literally. But am I ready to die spiritually? We're all born spiritually dead, but we become alive when Christ enters our heart and he regenerates us. And you see, the good news of the gospel in general, and the incarnation in particular, is that for we Christians, the fear of death has been removed. There is no slavery throughout all of life. We no longer have to fear dying in Christ in the future, and we don't have to fear dying for Christ right now. That is, dying to ourselves and our sin daily as we seek to live for Christ in this world. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." He had a relationship with the Word of God incarnate, Jesus. And so Paul was not afraid to die physically and literally. But he also said in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The Word of God was made incarnate as the light of the world to give life, to give hope and resurrection. But ironically, ladies and gentlemen, we discover that when after we're born again, we begin to die to ourselves. We turn over control. And we let our lives go down in the Lord Jesus Christ and his life come up in us. Now we're really living. No wonder Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, 11 and 12, "For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you." Many people wonder, why are you Christians so morbid? You're always talking about death and a dying Savior and all this. Well, in the wisdom of God, life comes through death. Therefore, we Christians not only don't have to fear death, literally, but every day as we die to ourselves and submit our lives to Jesus, we don't have to fear that risk of living by faith and seeing his Spirit move and cleanse us of our sins and lead us home. I think the Apostle John summarized it best in 1 John 4:18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. You don't have to fear death in the future. You don't have to fear it right now. As you die daily, as I die daily to my sin. Jesus was born to die for us, and we've been born again to die daily for him, so that our lives are changed. And we don't try to ignore death or all the other verities of the Christian life. The world likes to make noise on a night when it should be quiet. But for some people, it's just too quiet because they can't think and they can't imagine what life would be like if this life ended. We sang about it tonight. From our tears and fears, our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Have you found your rest in Christ? Have you laid all your fears upon him? Are you afraid to die? You don't have to be. Not in the future. If by faith you embrace the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and you don't have to fear life now, whatever you're dealing with, because we're called to die. And as we die, we discover what life is really about. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, I thank you that on this night, as we consider and meditate on the birth of the baby Jesus, that Lord, you came to die. And Father, I pray the prayer of the Apostle Paul, that I may know him for all of us, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to the image of his death, so that I might partake of the resurrection. Lord, make all that so in our lives, in the midst of the noise of the world and the hustle and the preoccupation with those things that are temporary and passing. Help us to embrace eternal life, the word of life, in the Lord Jesus. Do all these things and more, and we'll give you the glory for what you will do in our hearts and lives. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.